hello, everyone. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends, as I do my standard throw down the mic. Well, it's really throw down my headphones.
Throw down your earbuds.
Throw down my earbuds. I'm just trying to check volume control and see if we're even.
Again, you're multitasking. Haven't you learned yet, girlfriend?
No, I can't, because what happens is we put our headphones on for the show. We're getting ready. Sunday night's coming. Woo-hoo-hoo. And then all of a sudden, either I move the mic away from my voice, you know, just a half a centimeter different, or you did, and I'm just like, oh, man.
Gotta start all over.
Yeah, no, we can't do that. No. We just have to, like, move the, I choose
keep
to.
Keep moving forward.
Well, I choose to mimic you. Wherever you're at, I try to get closer to where you're at.
Oh, really?
It's impossible for you to do it.
Right.
You're not hearing it.
Right.
So, you know, like, okay, I moved the mics appropriately, so we sound similar to the audience, so they're like, what the heck's going on?
This is so important. This is so informational.
Exactly. Hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends, everyone.
Yeah. And tell me, Julie, what is Life with the Girlfriends?
Life with the Girlfriends. We're mother, daughter, certified life coaches. You're a psychotherapist. We're named Christine Marie and Julie. I'm Julie. You're Christine
Marie. That's right.
You're a psychotherapist, which I said. You have your certifications in addiction counseling, grief therapy. You're just like this.
Self-esteem, masters in. Oh, you know, I was talking to someone this week and mentioning that we had a podcast, Life with the Girlfriends.
Yeah.
What's it called? Life with the Girlfriends. And they go, well, that sounds nasty. Oh, really?
Yes.
I mean, in what world does the phrase life with the girlfriends sound like it could be like
show? Yes, it's a nasty show when you put like an NC-17 behind it. But we're PG-13.
Yeah, definitely.
So, for sure. And here we are with Life with the Girlfriends. And what we talk about is we try and pick out the nuggets of life expanding material through that course of our week, right?
Yes. It is a little bit about our life.
Yeah.
That, and me and you are the girlfriends. We really have been mother and daughter, but we've been calling each other girlfriends for decades. Hey, girlfriend.
And sometimes, hi, girlfriend. Normano, your husband's a girlfriend.
He's a girlfriend. And we've had many lovely honorary girlfriends.
Right.
That were men and women, but. Mm-hmm. So it is, and I like to say when I was a young therapist, when I was getting my phone number, mm-hmm. you know, I wanted LIFE, you know,
right,
and in my mind it stood for look inside for everything,
or life.
Well. Yes. Our life.
But look inside for everything.
Yes.
And that's how it is, right?
Isn't it true?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all perspective.
Yes. And we also have a little buddy today.
We do have a little buddy, you know, in the room.
So we, in our podcast, in our radio show tonight, what we always do is like the first 20 minutes, we talk about the week and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we talk a little bit about Elliot's Corner. And Elliot's Corner is what we can learn from our pets, animals, and so forth. And
that's Elliot.
Yeah.
He's our little Wheaton Terrier.
Exactly. And we've been blessed tonight because he has a sore paw, and I can't get him away from your side.
No. He's stuck to me like glue.
Yep. He's stuck to you like glue, and he has a sore paw, and he's like, I'm not moving. And every time I try and pick him up to move, he like shows me his teeth like,
right,
just try it, bitch.
And then he gets up every once in a while to actually try and come closer to
me. Yes, he's right now so close to you.
Right.
You're going to have to be moved.
I know.
To get closer.
Exactly.
So let him try. And then the third part of our show.
We have a third part of our show.
Yeah, we call it the Pillar Talk.
Right.
Little Doris Day does her Pillow Talk song. And the Pillar Talk, we go specifically towards, you know, what we do best, coaching.
Right.
You know, we love to coach. We love to help people. And
how to make your life better, honestly.
Yeah.
Bigger, more, better, more efficient, easy, effortless.
And we're going to talk about systems today. And
we are?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Mostly because I'm getting my master's in it.
Can I say something about systems?
Yeah. Exactly. We're going to do it the way we know how to do it, which is
fun.
We're going to try to, at least.
Me and you put the sis and systems.
For sure. But it was great this week. First of all, if you want to know more about us, go to our website, ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. Buy our book, the Amazon number one bestseller, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you all who bought it, who made us number one. That's
awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And you know, guys, we are getting there. We've got another book out that's going to be on the market shortly.
Exactly.
You know, we've talked enough about Einstein time and Newtonian time. And, you know, we're just having, you know, we're just in time, you know. And but we have a new book called Sleep Your Way to the Top of the Morning.
Yes.
And we with that, we're going to be having some meditations or some hypnosis to help you sleep your way to the top of the morning.
Exactly.
So to look forward to that.
And what I want to do right now is just kind of talk about our week. We had a fun week. We had the grandkids come over yesterday. Not my grandkids, your grandkid.
Right.
But in some ways, I have an honorary grandchild born this week as well.
You did. You did. An honorary.
I don't know what to call it.
Little Jack Robert.
Yes. Totally adorable. 7.5 pounds, approximately. I know it's 7 point something, but 7.5 pounds, I'm going to call it. Just the cutest little bundle of crying, sleeping baby.
Crying, sleeping, pooping.
Yeah. The threes that they love to do so much. And just a joy. And I say honorary because, you know, I'm not,
Doug and you aren't married.
Well, first off, so he's not even a step grandparent. Mm-hmm. I'm not a step grandparent. Not a step grandchild. But we've been together a long time. You know?
L-O-N-G. Long time.
Long time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I found
that's just how you roll.
Yes. And
you're kind of like Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
Exactly. That's sure. That's,
sure.
Mostly, I feel like I'm like Dorinda and her guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I understand that.
I just like it the way I like it. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's easy. It's fun. It's easy. And my life is so big that I can't imagine anything more. I know that's crazy, but that's okay. I have a crazy life on that part, but I'm happy. What am I going to do?
Yeah,
you know, Tony Robbins talks about if your blueprint matches your situation, then you're okay.
And you are okay, my man.
I feel like my blueprint matches my my expectations or what I put. Just kind of talking really quick. I haven't seen the whole guru show yet. I really want to see Tony Robbins.
Don't call me guru.
I'm not your guru.
Uh-huh.
Don't call me guru. Okay, I won't, asshole. Guru. Don't call me guru. But there's a scene where he makes this woman break up with her boyfriend at one of his conventions or one of his, you know, events. Yeah, on the phone right then and there. And she asks, one of the things she asked him, he asked her before was like, no one can compare to my dad because my dad just loved me so much.
She said that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he goes, your dad loved you wrong because your dad loved you unconditionally. And that's not reality. People don't love people unconditionally.
Really?
Yes. I thought that was very interesting.
He said your dad loved you wrong?
Like in the sense of that you got the impression that any man you were going to meet was going to love you unconditionally.
I got you. Okay. Yeah.
And that's not true.
That's not true. Right.
And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
You know? And it's weird because, like, I have my dad who I know loves me unconditionally, but I also think he loves you unconditionally. Because at a certain point, you're just family.
Yeah.
So you wonder if that's necessarily true.
Right.
But also, too, you wonder because you guys are married so young that it's different now. Like, if you're marrying when you're young, under the age of 25.
Right.
And marry when you're at 35, those 10 years are pretty...
Oh, yeah. They're very different.
Life-altering.
You bet.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I think that you marry for different reasons at 35. I'm guessing. Since I'm not married, I can't really talk about it. So let's go back now talking about the funny things that happened to us over the week.
But I want to come back to Tony Robbins at some point.
Okay, well, go ahead. Talk about Tony Robbins. What
No, because I'm curious about... why did he make her break up with her boyfriend?
He asked her a question. Do you think this is the love of your life? And she didn't say anything. She just was thinking. And he goes, everybody knows the answer by your response. Everybody in this whole room knows the answer. And he goes, but I don't want to hurt his feelings. He goes, you're already hurting his feelings by not setting him free to right. find somebody who can really make him happy.
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah. I'm going to come clean with everybody right now. That is my only problem that I have with Doug. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel that we're both on the same page. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel that he would like someone to pick up half of his life for him.
Oh, yeah, honey. You're not.
That ain't me.
That's 100% true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would encourage you
not to do that. Well, exactly. Well, I mean, and so all along the way, when he's made big decisions where I'm like, well, I'm not part of that decision.
Right.
You can make that decision on your own.
Right.
I ain't going to suffer the consequences of that.
Right.
Because exactly. This is not a good decision.
Right. He makes a lot of wacky doodle decisions.
Right.
That if you were married, you'd be suffering.
I would say no.
Major consequences.
I would have said, this is not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you go behind my back and do it,
yeah.
you are going to be in deep doo-doo.
Right.
No, they're not like immoral questions.
No.
They're more
wacky doodle.
They're wacky doodle questions.
Right. Decisions.
Like, you're not buying your ex-wife a house.
Oh, yes, I am.
But where are my kids going to stay? They don't have no money. Where are my kids going to stay? They can stay with you. You're not going to buy your kids, you know, and then I got to buy my ex. Well, like, great. And he, 10 years later, he's still bitching about it because the kids have all grown. God, they're done with college.
They're all done.
The ex-wife left the house, was supposed to buy it, didn't buy it. And now he's short $600 a month because that's all I can, because it's just,
right.
That's how it looks with renters in an upside down house.
Yeah.
You know, or committing to paying for your kids' education.
Signing on the dotted line for student loans. That you're going to pay back.
For a poli-sci degree.
Scary.
Hello?
Scary.
$100,000? Are you out of your mind? Well, that's what she wants. I go, you know what? We're not married. You can do that. But in the back of my mind, I'm going, check. And so now, though, he goes like, oh, I wish we were married. We could help. You know, I'm like, no. No.
See, if we were married, we could share all this burden.
Yeah, isn't that
darling?
Be awesome? No. You're sharing the good times. And then you try and plan a life to prevent the bad times.
That's right.
You know.
Insulate.
Yeah. And listen, I'd be totally cool with Doug doing all this stuff if he made, I don't know, $500,000 a year.
Yeah, to have a little extra to throw around.
You know, but when he says, I just can't afford to go on vacation this year, I'm like, yeah, I know why. Because that's what's going on. Mm-hmm. And guess what? I'm going to San Diego without you.
That's right.
Cha-ching! So, sorry, little guy.
Yeah.
You know, and our lives are perfect together.
Goldie and Kurt.
Exactly.
Sitting in a tree.
Am I telling too much? So
not
what?
Really.
I don't care.
If people have been following us for years,
No, they know it.
Yeah. If they're just tuning in, they might go, that's kind of TMI.
Yeah, but no.
No.
Let a little more information go.
Yeah.
I don't care.
That's right.
Well, because here's with Tony Robbins. You said about Tony Robbins.
Right.
And so she broke up with that guy right away.
For his own sake.
For his own sake.
Right.
Even though he didn't want to be alone. And I'm talking about this too because last night I watched part of The Intern on HBO.
Oh, my gosh. Did I ever give a Sherpa hat on that one?
Yes, you did. You said two.
Okay.
So it was half hour too long, which it was.
Yes, it was.
Also, there were three or four scenes in there that made zero sense.
100%.
That the writers came back saying, how do we bridge this scene to this scene?
With a Tai Chi scene.
Yeah, with Tai Chi.
Let's let him do Tai Chi.
Yeah. Let this man who never got to work late, never left after the boss left, before the boss left,
right.
Take off a day to go do Tai Chi.
Right.
That is not in.
In what reality?
And I thought, did they hire another writer for this?
Yeah.
Did the writer not read the screenplay?
Right.
Possibly. Felt that schizophrenic.
Right.
I'm like, really?
Right.
But overall, I enjoyed it.
Overall, it had some cute potential.
Yeah.
It really did. But it just missed the mark.
Well, and so here it is, though. There was one scene where we kind of know this. Okay, there's one scene she's discussing her marriage to Robert De Niro. Anne Hathaway. And trust me, I'm not giving anything away because it's really standard.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a sweet little movie. But she struggles because she doesn't know, you know, there's some things going on in her marriage and she's not completely happy and she doesn't know she talked to her husband about it because overall she doesn't want him to leave and she doesn't want to be alone.
Right.
She doesn't want to be alone through this.
And they have a child.
They have a child, which I think, I'm sorry to say, that trumps everything. having a kid because I've seen divorces now that look horrible.
Right.
And I thought, I think being married might have been better than this crap.
Right.
I mean, not being able to talk to your parents. You know, I mean, I don't, honestly, all the divorces I've seen, hardly any of them have been sweet.
Mm-hmm.
They've all been contentious.
Mm-hmm.
And I just go, your life doesn't seem any easier.
Or better.
Or better.
Whatever. No.
Mm-mm. Than this. Right. Now, I'm not judging. Trust me, because I'm not married and I don't have kids directly. I have kids by default.
Right.
And I'm very happy with that.
Yes.
But
from afar.
From afar, I'm always, because I think time heals wounds, but I think that in a long-term marriage, there's good times and then there's dips.
Yeah.
And hopefully the good times are more than the bad times, but those bad times always make an impression on people more.
Yeah.
And that's just sad.
And also, too, time has a tendency to wound all heels.
Ain't that the truth? Yes. You know, your healed scab gets wounded again. You're like, I'm going to pick that scab off, man. I got to pick that wound, man. Exactly. Good job, girlfriend. I like that.
I heard it years ago.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Brought it around again. Made us full circle.
Exactly. So I'm always to the point where I'm not judgmental about people's relationships because people's relationships, because I never, there are so many components that I just feel.
That's one of the, I think one of your good characteristics is that you really, I know you as a person that really truly doesn't judge.
Right.
I mean, you really accept all sorts of things and look at it as, okay, well, that's your baseline, and then how do we make it better from there?
Right.
I mean, you have, you know, you have no, you know, I may go, what the, how did that happen?
Yeah.
You know,
you're well, just you like know going, what I do? I am judging, though. I'll tell you who I judge really harshly.
Yourself?
I judge judgy people.
Judgy?
Those judgy people, I can't stand
them.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm judging them like crazy. And overall, I think life is complex. And I think for the majority of us, life throws us balls that we have a hard time catching. And we
100%.
Just make, and we make do with the best we can and hands that we're dealt.
Yeah.
And
what do you think about this, though? I mean, it seems like everybody in the whole world always says, I mean, I agree with you. Life is complex and stuff. But the idea is like, hey, move on. You know, just move on.
I believe in moving on. But
there's something about it, though, that irks me when I hear it.
Well, I don't know what that means. To me, moving
it means
on
like,
means...
just let it, you know, just let it go.
Right.
Get you know, you, if you got yourself in some kind of deep doo-doo, just move forward quickly as possible. Or
right. Well, I guess my feeling of moving on means moving on with the suffering. Like, when you get hit with something and it changes your situation that you have no control over.
Right.
You know, life-changing situation. It takes time, you know, to acclimate to that new scenario in your life. And then to me, moving on means, okay, well, how do I make my life better now?
Mm-hmm.
How do I tweak my life better now from this sometimes worse situation?
I agree with you 100%. But I think that a lot of people say, you know, like, hey, I'm just moving on.
Yeah.
As just sort of like another whirlwind, another tornado coming.
Right, exactly.
You know, they're just moving on.
Just moving on.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
I think
it does damage in some sense.
Yeah, that's what I'm just trying
to
get to.
I think it does damage in some sense. And so, if you're going to move on without doing the interior work, I think it's hard.
I agree.
And
what it means is, hey, let's move on. Let's, you know, let's go out to the bar tonight and get a drink and move forward and pretend this
never happened.
Yeah.
That's
not really move. If you've got real relationship issues or some complex things, and that's really, I would say, more avoiding.
Right.
Than
exactly.
Moving on.
Well, and I was talking to Doug about some stuff last night, and trying to be reflective with him and so forth. But I said, you know, most of us can't like we have responsibilities to the people we care about. Mm-hmm. We have responsibilities to ourselves, the people we love, and then our community. And once in a while, you get a person, quote unquote, that's really effing successful in their chosen profession. Mm-hmm. And then you look at their total lives, and they don't see their kids very often. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, I mean, I don't know the whole Steve Jobs story. I just know that he had a child that he never claimed for a while, mm-hmm. even when he was wealthy and could have easily taken care of him, you know. And so and then he changed or whatever, evolved or whatever, you know. And like I said, this is just a total generalization. So I remember Dr. Wayne Dyer. I'm not going to throw him underneath the bus. I love him.
No,
I'm not.
Don't
but
you
I
dare.
I remember he said one time, I'm the guy who writes the checks.
Right.
That was his job.
Right. He goes, I'm chief check writer.
Now, like Doug, okay, he took his sister to, you know, the doctor on Friday. Him and sister don't get along that great, but it's okay. She helps take care of her mom and, you know, all this stuff. That's his role in this family. Now, if he could write the check, he would have loved to have written a check for an Uber driver or a chauffeur to go pick her butt up, go take her to the hot doctor, and, you know, save him, you know.
Right.
But that couldn't be him.
Right.
So he had to literally spend his whole day with his sister, mm-hmm. taking her to different doctors and driving her back home, you know, mm-hmm. hospital stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so most of us can't be check writers carte blanche.
No.
But what we can be is we adjust our schedules. I mean, we were talking about his life and how he's had a very non-traditional life. And there are consequences to that. We've talked about that.
You and I have.
Yeah. You know, his son-in-law and his daughter
have
a very traditional life. His son-in-law just became a vice principal. And he got like a $5,000 raise from his last job, which was a supervisor of a charter school. But what he got was all of his benefits paid for, which literally equaled about 20 grand,
right.
where he had to pay for them himself.
Right.
And being self-employed like Doug has been ever since I've known him, the flexibility he has is that he could leave his job any given time, mm-hmm. any given day.
Which he does. Yeah.
And no one fires him.
Right.
You know?
Right.
No one fires him. And, I mean, he saw his kids' plays. He went to every away game.
He goes out and 18 holes of golf
every
day.
Yes, everything he does. Mm. Now, the consequence is he has to sometimes struggle to pay for insurance. Mm-hmm. He hasn't funded his retirement the way he should have, mm-hmm. because he played this non-traditional game.
Right.
And yet there were benefits, complete benefits. So we've talked about those things.
Right.
And so everything is a trade-off.
Isn't it true?
And sometimes, though, in the long game, things that are benefits in the beginning are curses at the end.
That's true.
And so you work with that.
Right.
And if you know that and you try and plug in those long games, you do that. You do it.
Right.
And sometimes it doesn't work.
Or hopefully by the end of the long game, you have the mental mindset that is okay with it all.
Right. And I told him, I go, Doug, I have had a non-traditional life. And the one thing that I have never had in the last 20 years of my life, I've never dreaded going to work.
That's right.
That to me is such a benefit.
Right.
On the other hand, I've had to, you know, think about, well, can I get a better price on my health insurance?
Right.
Am I putting enough away for retirement? You know, am I putting anything away for my retirement sometimes during those last 20 years?
Right.
You know, you think about all those things, and those are okay. But certainly, like your brother John,
yeah.
You know, he was at the same company for 35 years.
100%.
Started at 22.
Right.
You know, maybe
he used to work for us that summer before he started. And he was so depressed because he actually made more money with us than when he did at his first
Bought a van for him, and he was delivering air freight.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when he spent the summer with us, Greg and I would go with him. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't. Yeah, we were like little kids.
Yeah.
We were little kids.
Yeah.
And he let us come with them. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Back in the day when there were no seatbelt laws. And, you know, it's funny because, like, he did have that complaint. Like, I make less now.
Right.
But he knew where he wanted to be.
Right.
You know, and so
and in 35 years, we're still making the same money.
Yes. But there's a short game and a long game.
That's right.
But it has, there are the benefits. We've had such wonderful benefits. But now there's a longer game involved, you know. Mm-hmm. And so you have to come strong with your mental fortitude to realize that you've chosen all along the way mm-hmm. the best situation.
Right.
And come
for who you were.
Yeah, for who you were. Yeah. And come to a Jesus moment.
Right.
And knowing that, I love that one line in the Bible where he says, God knew you.
God knew you before you were even knitted in your mother's womb.
He knew you.
Yes.
So it's all going to be okay.
Right.
He's not going to, it's all going to be okay.
Right.
It may not look the same as somebody else's life.
Right.
But it's all going to be okay.
Right.
Choose joy.
Right.
I think that's what we really are about. We're always
and
about trying
life.
To choose more life. And more life means choosing joy.
Yes.
Choosing joy.
Yes.
That's what we try to do. I know we're getting a little long in the beginning part, but that's okay.
That
I
happens,
I don't know. But before we move on to Elliot's Corner, I do want to talk about my nieces.
Yeah.
And I just want to say how much I adore them.
Aren't they just adorkable?
Well, and here is a scenario. 5 and a 3-year-old. And it's all poop jokes that are funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Gregory and Rebecca, they've done it. They're like, we're done with the poop jokes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's so funny. I was talking to an educator and then talking to David, the vice principal. He says, those jokes, when I was in elementary school, poop jokes were so funny until about age 3, you know, grade 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then from fourth grade all the way to mid junior high, it's all about kitties. Like videos about cats and videos, you know, YouTube videos and like pranks and how funny that stuff is. And then it goes into like high schoolers. It's all about sex and drugs. You know, this is his realm of what's considered like the main topic of funny conversation
for kids. Yeah.
And, well, because, you know, it's not necessarily appropriate to say poop a lot.
Sir poop a lot.
Yes. They have a thing where they,
yeah,
if the kids say poop, they have to give a coin for the piggy bank.
Yeah. They call them coins because, honestly, the kids have no conception of money.
Not yet, no.
They really don't.
Yeah.
And I think because their parents are the generation that they just, I mean, use the phone for everything.
Well, like, yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
I've seen people go through McDonald's and just
show
them
their phone. Exactly. Yeah.
So they don't, I don't think, so kids, they call them coins.
Yes.
And they have no conception, but they like them.
They love them.
Yeah.
They're energetically awesome.
And so if they say the word poop, they've got to give a coin back.
And so what happened was we were saying some poop jokes. We were creating some. And they just love the word poop. They just love that word poop. And my joke was, what comes out of a monkey's butt? I would say, monkey poop. And they were on the floor.
That was funny.
They were on the floor. And so we were creating all these poop jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally I said, I'm going to give you guys each 3 quarters. And please stop saying poop. But as you leave the house, you walk through the door, what do you no longer say? And they go, we no longer say poop.
Right. This is a poop-free zone here.
Yes.
And this isn't.
Yes. And then I just said to Greg, I said, I gave him each 3 quarters because I feel there's going to be a transitional period that they're going to have to say. You're going to have to correct. And I don't want the kids to lose 3 quarters because their aunt Julie doesn't mind the word poop.
Greg was saying, though, that at one point, Pippa gave him her piggy bank and said, just take it.
Just take it. I gotta say
the word poop.
I gotta say
just
the word
poop.
Just
take my money.
I love it. Exactly. So, you ready for a little
Elliot's Corner?
Mm-hmm. I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner. Well, there I was.
And there you were.
Playing.
I love your ukulele. Yeah, I miss it. You used to, you usually play it more in the winter time.
Yes. I can't imagine now having the time to play it.
Right.
Just with like I got lots of going on.
Yeah, master's degree and everything.
Yes. So we'll, I have no idea. I'll try and pick it up here and there because I don't want to forget it.
I once had a dog.
Or should I say,
he once had me. And he does have me.
Yeah. Welcome to Elliot's Corner.
Yeah. talk about.
Well, I feel, first of all,
what comes out of a monkey's butt.
Yeah. I want to talk about orangutans.
Oh, what comes out of an orangutan's butt?
Orangutan poo.
That's right.
Orangutan poop. See, poo is not funny, but poop is hysterical.
Yes.
Because what's it?
It's a palindrome.
A palindrome. Yes, that's it right. And it was kind of funny. You met somebody by the name of Hannah the other day.
Yes.
Oh, your name is a palindrome. And she's like, what's that?
Wait, what?
I go, I just said, forward and backwards. Your name is spelled forward and backwards. Same. And he's like, oh, it is. I never realized it. And I thought to myself, well, if that's really the case, then I don't know. I just think that
somebody
that your mom didn't know what a palindrome was.
Somebody should have told you you're a palindrome.
Exactly. I was watching Nova, and they were talking about this really... It's the last, I can't remember his name. It's the last sign language speaking orangutan in the world.
What?
And
how come?
Well, I didn't realize that they're not teaching sign language
anymore
to primates, and mostly because they feel it's unethical. And it's unethical to bring a wild animal into our world. And I thought, my gosh. I find this incredibly amazing that we're discussing these things. Mm-hmm. And I find it in some ways evolving.
Wow.
Because the idea, just because we can, is it ethical?
Oh, that's pretty amazing.
This one professor said, okay, is it ethical? I have no idea, but it certainly is acceptable. There was no harm done.
Mm-hmm.
Except that he kind of struggled to get back into nature, this orangutan.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful, beautiful creature. But he's now living in a zoo with another female orangutan. And I think he's like 30, 20-something.
Does she know sign language?
No. And they get along well enough. You know, he's happy. And when when the person comes that taught him sign language, she worked at a zoo as well, or I don't know how it worked out, but what happened was she was teaching him sign language. It was a project, and one day she goes to her work and her name tag won't let her in the building. No clear reason why. And she goes to her new boss. I just hired a new boss, and says, I do not believe that we should teach sign language to orangutans. We're not going to waste 1 ounce of energy.
So they fired her, you mean?
Yeah, they fired her immediately. And then they took this orangutan and put him into, you know, tried to acclimate him to other orangutans, you know?
Whoa.
And so she started then just going to the zoo and talking, you know, and trying to reconnect with her orangutan. And I'll tell you what, she was heartbroken.
I would be too.
She was heartbroken.
I would be too, Julie.
And so what happened was... it's kind of funny because when she would visit, we saw her visit the orangutan.
Mm-hmm.
And all he really wanted to do was, like, he goes, meat? Do you have meat? Like, ice cream? Can I get some ice cream?
He wants food.
Because he's just getting plain old orangutan food,
aww,
I'm sure. And he goes, I have to ask. And he talks, he calls the people who take care of him, like, I don't know, what do you call those zookeepers? They call them people with keys, like women with keys, because they all have a lot of keys in their belt.
Oh, the orangutan says,
yeah,
people with keys.
Yeah, like man with keys.
Right.
You know, and so the woman goes, I have to ask the woman with the keys to see if you can get something.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just give you food.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I mean, he was just, it's just so heartbreaking.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's interesting how... they're just choosing as a group to believe that we no longer do this.
Mm-hmm.
We no longer teach sign language to animals, to primates, and or at least orangutans.
I don't get it, Jules.
Well,
I mean, they do like service animals. They teach them how to, you know, interact with their masters.
But see, now service animals, like dogs specifically, they are domesticated. Elliot couldn't survive out in the wild.
Yeah.
And
he wouldn't survive a day.
He wouldn't survive a day. His little paw would be like, someone help me. Oh. Yeah. And
I mean, just our vet said he's a drama queen.
Oh, I know. Well, I feel bad because right now, all three of his people that lives with him, all are suffering with leg issues. You know, like my knees are just been killing me. So now I wonder, they say that your animals.
He has a sympathy pain.
Yes, your animals mimic you. And I thought, I don't want my dog to have leg issues because I have
knee
issues.
It's so funny because he has a beard. Yeah. Wouldn't that be funny if we all got beards?
Well, sometimes I'm close. I got tweeze. I was grateful I didn't see Doug till late last night because I'm like, it's dark out. We're just going for a ride. I don't have to be so close right now. I have no problem with with random hairs growing on my face. None. I'm a Kardashian. We'll never have a problem.
We'll do a fundraiser for a no-no for you.
Thank you. That would be awesome. I was going to say something about no-no, but... Like, I could afford to buy a no-no anytime in the last 2 years. But, you know, instead, it's sort of like, I'd rather buy this than that.
Right.
You know, craziness. Okay, so anyway, you know how SeaWorld has chosen never to have another whale?
Yeah, right.
And some people are like, oh my God, that's so sad to think that we will never have a whale in captivity again once these whales that are in captivity pass away because we learn so much from them. But because of all the situations with whales and so forth and it being a controversy, that's their new thing. And so I don't know if it's right or wrong. Like, you know that movie Blackfish, I think it was called? Mm-hmm. And they really broke open how some SeaWorlds are treating their whales. Mm-hmm. Some, not all, because I really believe that...
I don't want to see that movie.
No.
I can't stand anything that makes me feel sad for animals.
And I honestly, because I know how things are produced, I never know how much really is true. Mm-hmm. If you see a 5-minute segment of any parent in this country, they will look horrible. Mm-hmm. But most of the time... most parents are kind until they have literally just had, like, their children have just pushed them over the limit. And
so you're saying it's all in the editing.
I say my life.
Edit. Edit,
I could look like the worst person in the world if you edit me appropriately.
That's right.
You know? It's like, boy, what's that girl doing? You know? Is she going without a bra again? Hello, what's wrong with her? Does she not know her boobies are a little hanging low? What's wrong with her? You know. So yes, I think our lives could be edited several different ways, and so it's all in the editing. Now, that's all I have to say about animals. I don't know what I've learned from it, except that I love the idea that we keep going deeper with the questions.
Yeah, the ethical questions.
The answers will always change. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that we're not just taking the old scenario and saying, well, that question's been answered, now let's move on. Mm-hmm. Well, let's ask the question again. Mm-hmm. Maybe we've learned something more.
Right.
Maybe we learned something new. And we keep asking better and better in questions, and we will keep evolving that way.
Yes.
And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So that's what we're taking away from Animal Stories this week.
All right.
Keep asking better and better questions.
Thank you, Jules.
You ready for a little pillar talk?
Come on, Doris. Do your thing.
All right, here we are at Pillow Talk. Pillow Talk. I love that. I love Doris Day.
I do,
Day.
Too.
Just love her. She's still around.
She's still around.
And
she
loves
animals. And
you know that? Yeah, she loves animals. Because there's a new magazine.
Yeah.
That is just for old people. It's a rag for old people.
And you know what is interesting? Is that it's called Closer.
Closer.
And that's kind of... you know, it kind of pisses me off.
Oh, like Closer
bit.
To Death?
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know if that's what they meant.
Okay, they might as well just call it nearer my God to thee. You know?
So yes, on this magazine Closer, which I thought meant like closer look, take a look, closer look. But you're thinking,
oh no,
oh, they mean closer,
yeah,
to death.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yes, because they've had like Glenn Campbell on the cover.
Yeah.
I think Glenn, or also Kris Kristofferson's been on the cover.
Yeah.
I mean, these are now they don't show them what they really look like today.
Oh, really?
It's Doris Day. No, it was
1950.
Well, maybe, you know,
the 50s Doris.
Maybe like 70s and 80s Doris.
I don't think she was in the 70s and 80s.
No, that's what she looked like. They, you know,
oh,
like,
I see.
No, she was around the 70s and 80s. I remember her Doris Day. Oh, no, that's Donna Shore. I get them confused a lot. I don't know why.
Yes, you do.
I don't. They had the same haircut, though, right? The blonde short kind of.
Okay.
But I remember Donna Shore had her golf thing, right?
Right, right.
Doris Day does not have a golf thing. Mm-mm. But she's not in the public eye. Like Betty White. They're not going to have a picture on Closer of Betty White in the 50s and 60s or 70s.
No, because she's still around.
She's still around. People are going to go, who's that person? Right. Betty White. Well, that's not what Betty White looks like. You know, but if you haven't been in the public eye,
mm-hmm,
you know, so forth. Why are we talking about this anyway?
I don't know.
Oh, because of Doris Day singing
right.
it. Well, I was going to just give a real quick homage to Gene Wilder.
Oh,
yeah. Because he passed away. And they said he passed away of complications of Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And some people were criticizing. I have to say this bugs me a little bit about the
mm-hmm.
news.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard anybody criticize Gene Wilder, but I've heard news media talk about people criticizing Gene Wilder for not coming out earlier that he had Alzheimer's and that he could have really moved the needle forward in money and, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. saying, hey, this is really out there.
Mm-hmm.
We all know it's really out there.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard anybody complain about that, but mm-hmm. I've heard reporters tell me people are complaining.
That's wild.
Yeah. I'm not saying they're not complaining. I just haven't heard people complaining. But what Gene Wilder's nephew said, which I thought was interesting, he said, my uncle, when he first was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, he said, I don't want a kid to come up to me and see me as Willy Wonka and me not be able to respond appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I just don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was sweet
mm-hmm.
because I've seen Gene Wilder like 10 years ago or maybe mm-hmm. a little early, later, than like maybe 7 or 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He looks the same. I mean, he's got his short, curly hair.
Mm-hmm.
He just looks the same, and he has the same voice and the same, you know, persona. And he just looked older, but he looked and had that same aura about him, which mm-hmm. was, in my mind, he was a comedic genius because he was not bigger than life.
Right.
He was quieter
just
than life.
Just the opposite.
In his performance, he was always,
right,
you know, demure, if that's the right word I'm looking for.
Subdued.
And I always thought it was interesting that they picked Johnny Depp to play the new Willy Wonka,
mm-hmm.
who brought it over the top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, makeup and face and eyes and everything looked crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Where the original Willy Wonka,
you didn't need to do that.
No. He just wore a top hat and a funny suit.
Right.
And had a cane.
I mean, some of my best, you know, memories of movies are Gene Wilder movies, for sure.
Oh, Silver Streak, which I'm going to try
Silver
and rent.
Silver Streak, Blazing Saddles.
Oh, I'm sure nowadays, because Mel Brooks wrote some great stuff.
Yeah.
But they were highly inappropriate because he liked to break the bound, you know, push
yes,
the boundaries a little
yeah.
bit.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if they would pass today as even slightly appropriate
because mm-hmm.
we're so politically correct. Even though being politically incorrect is politically correct
mm-hmm.
because that it shows you how ridiculous
mm-hmm.
those secret thoughts we have
mm-hmm.
that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but I'm going to make a commitment to try and see some Gene Wilder
yes.
movies. That would
yeah.
be awesome.
I think they might have a lot of retrospectives.
I've been trying to find it, you
yeah.
know,
be lovely. You know, before we head on to, you know, Pillow Talk, I want to, you know, I saw a movie last night, Black Mass with mm-hmm. Johnny Depp, and I want to give it, out of like 5 Sherpa hats, I want to give it like 4.5.
Awesome.
Because it was really, really, really good.
What was the only bad part? Long. But it needed to be long.
It was long, yeah.
Well, it was 2 hours, I think.
Yeah, 2+ maybe. Other than, I mean, it was a really, really good movie. The actual subject matter, I mean, I would have loved to have had a 90-minute comedy, you know. But right. But I mean, in terms of a good movie, in terms of acting,
he acted phenomenal in that movie.
Wow. What's really funny is, like, the one familiar face I could not remember. I had to wait to the whole end of the movie. It was Peter Skarsgård. He had like a part that was like 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
But he did. He acted absolutely awesomely.
Yeah.
In it,
exactly. Know? Exactly.
Yeah, but anyway, Johnny Depp honestly should have won.
Well, and he didn't because
best actor
of Leonardo DiCaprio
as opposed to Leo.
Yeah, Leo kind of got it for like a general career. Like, thumbs up, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that they were they're tired of not knowing if Johnny Depp will come on stage. Sober, uh-huh. Not high.
Right, right.
Or just kooky, right?
Right. Well, he's kooky.
He's just kooky.
He's a kooky man.
And I think success without it being checked can lead to more and more idiosyncrasies.
Yeah, if you took two men side by side having those same idiosyncrasies, one is in poverty, the other is multi-billionaire, you wouldn't be able to tell them apart except for the money factor.
Yeah, or most like this, one has no friends and one has a lot of friends because, you know, of mm-hmm. the money or because right. of the success. It is interesting.
Yeah.
You just don't know. I was going to comment, you said that, and it was interesting because I was watching Oprah, and I might have said this on a previous show, about how it was a story about this one man, I think it was in Brazil.
Oh, right, the guy that
lived in the middle of an island in a high... You know how they had the island of grass in the middle of a road?
Right.
Is it boulevard part, you know? Mm-hmm. And he just had his tent there for years.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote poetry. And he was hunched over, older man. And no one talked to him. And then finally, one woman started talking to him and reading his poetry. Mm-hmm. And got a Facebook page for him. And his brother found him. And, you know, took him home with him. You know, it's sweet.
Aww.
But you realize that
yeah.
if no one acknowledged his genius,
right.
he would have still been there.
Right.
Then you go, oh my gosh, did he not deserve to be found if he didn't have poetry? You know.
Right.
Which is like some other guy
right.
who just,
right.
you know. Like that one homeless man that lived in Naperville.
Yes.
You know, there was an arson against him. I mean, someone burned down his tent.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there for years at the library,
right,
in a tent, you know. So right. it's just interesting, you know, how that. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I'm not really sure what the point of all that was. Mm. Just acknowledging, the interesting things of life that we have.
Yes.
Okay, so here we are at Pillar Talk. I mean, we got about literally only 8-9 minutes.
Okay,
and we want to talk about the sexiness of systems. And mostly we want to talk about the sexiness of making it simple.
Mm-hmm.
Because what mom has been saying a lot to me is set it and forget it.
Yes.
And what that means is that you've got a system in place.
Right.
You know where you're going.
Right.
There's a lot of goals that we all have that we struggle too much to get them to come true.
100%.
And if we just say, I'm going to set it and I'm going to forget it.
Right.
The forget it means I'm not going to worry about it.
Right.
I'm not going to keep redeciding or recommitting
right.
to this thing.
Do I have to address this again?
Again.
No, because I set it.
And I forget it.
And I forget it.
And I'm going to have a thing right now. I'm going to have a little contest to our audience out there. There's one or two goals out there that you can set and forget. Yeah, one might be this. You know, are you saving money? Enough money. And if you're not, you know, Tony Robbins talks about 10%. Most people say you save 10% of your money for the future. Most people don't do that. So wherever you're saving, let's say you're saving maybe only 2%, or you find that you're actually going in the hole every month because you're using your credit mm-hmm. cards every month.
Mm-hmm.
At this moment, I want you to move that needle 2%. Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. If you're going in the hole every month a percentage, say this month, I'm going to start saving 1% of my salary starting now.
Mm-hmm.
And you set it and forget it. You know how you do that? You go to your bank, you go to all these online funds, and they will automatically withdraw from your account a certain amount of money every month, and you'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never miss it. You'll never know.
You know, I heard there was an app.
I was going to say Acorn. Isn't it called Acorn?
And it's structured a little differently.
Right.
But what it does is it's structured to take money out of your checking account.
Just daily that you don't need.
Daily that you don't
see, you don't need.
See, yeah. And all of a sudden you've got, and I thought, now that's cool.
And so with technology a day,
yeah.
And I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to buy next week. I'm going to have one way that they're going to, I'm going to pull out a certain amount of money, a little extra than I usually have, that I'm never going to touch.
Right.
Set it and forget it.
Right.
Now, another way you can set it and forget it is with food. And I'm gonna, and people are going, how do you do that? We really are creatures of habit. We like to look at Food Channel and think of all this wild variety that we eat.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, we typically eat in the same realm all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But what if we literally say, I'm going to set it and forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not going to waste brain power and brain energy 5 days a week
right.
to think about what am I going to eat today.
Right.
Take a moment and say, for the next 5 days, I'm going to have this healthy breakfast.
Right.
For this 5 days, I'm going to have this healthy lunch.
Right.
For this 5 days, I'm going to have maybe, if you want to have variety, two or three different kinds of variety.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk to people who have a consistent weight,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times they are eating the exact same thing
mm-hmm.
day in and day out.
Right.
There's just no reason to, especially if you're having other goals in mind, to waste valuable energy on allowing yourself to play in this huge cornucopia of mm-hmm. food.
You know, Bob Proctor said this, I heard him say
yeah.
this years ago. Like if you're in debt, he said, put yourself on, basically, he didn't say set it and forget
no.
it, but it's what he meant. You know, get your debt on a
schedule.
A schedule, set it and forget it. And
get to making money.
Don't look at it mm-hmm. after that.
Yes.
And then get about making, creating money, living your life, doing
yes.
the things that you want to do.
Exactly.
And I mean, that's another system in
100%.
Place. And when you start really looking at good systems and how they help you.
Yes. And you don't have to do everything all at one time.
No.
You don't have to do that. You can set it and forget it. Debt reduction is a perfect thing. They say that within 7 to 8 years, you could have all your debt paid for, including your mortgage, if you focused on it a little bit.
Whoa.
Yes. Now, that might be a little extreme. You may take a little longer thing and say 15 years. But the one thing you have to do is you have to commit to not go back into debt. And that's hard unless you're saving money too.
That's hard, especially if you're in trucking.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry about that.
No.
But
so look at your budget and say, okay, am I the person that right now my husband and I are, I'm going to just focus on debt reduction for one whole year. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to go out. I'm not going to do that. Every extra dollar I have, I'm just going to throw it till I'm zero in debt.
Mm-hmm.
Or do I say, I'm going to take a little wider stand. I'm going to set it and forget it, but I'm going to start saving 10% of my money because I'm not going to go into debt again. And that means I don't go into debt for a car repair. I don't go to debt for mm-hmm. this. I don't go to debt for that. And the only way you can't go into debt for that is that you got to have a little reserve. You talk about having a cushion around your life,
yeah.
having margins.
Insulations.
Yeah. You only have those if you build them into your life.
Right.
I've seen those take time, but they also take just a commitment. You know, sometimes it means I'm going to sell this extra car we have because I don't want the extra insurance. I might get a little cash for it, and that cash will be my buffer in case something comes down the pike and I don't want to get into debt for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm automatically taking this much money to pay off my debt. I know in 3 years all my debt's paid for, not including your house, you know. Or you say this, you know, I don't want to have a car payment anymore, and I have a car payment now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to set that's already set and forget, right? So I'm going to start saving money. So when I want to buy another car, I've got money to buy another car.
Mm-hmm.
So there's ways to do it, but you can't do it all at one time.
No.
But there's a plan. And decide this week, what's the plan best for me? We have, we're about ready to close, and you know, go to our website, ChristineMarieAngeli.com. But we talk about this idea that through meditation, hypnosis, visualization, everything improves. Whatever you're doing, adding those three things to your daily life, which can be done literally in 10 minutes a day, will make your life better.
100%.
And sometimes give yourself this week to, here's my situation, and meditate on it.
Right.
You know, visualize it being better. And then really think about the ways that you can, the right path for you. Mm-hmm. And then set it and forget it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you're not going to change the path.
It doesn't mean that you're not going to reset it and forget it.
Oh,
but you can, but for a week, you can choose to set it and forget it, and then maybe bring it back, and let's see how I can tweak that.
Tweak it. And keep asking yourself the questions.
Right.
Is there a better way
right.
that I can do this?
Right.
And with the world changing so fast and people doing these things, mm-hmm. there are going to be better ways that you can set it and forget it.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful life out there right now, guys. It's a brave new world. We're learning these systems that we can put into place, these sexy systems of setting it and forgetting it. And if you want to have a system for sex too, what the hell? just set it and forget it.
Set it and forget it.
just put it in your timer. Put it in your smartphone. And so forth. But I want to say thank you, everyone, for listening to us tonight on this Sunday night. Beautiful Sunday night.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful weekend, Julie? Here in the Midwest. I know it's crappy on the East Coast, but...
It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great.